If I saw the watch, I would think that the watch was evidence of intelligent design. There was a designer behind it, there was intelligence behind it. That's what I would assume. It would be entirely reasonable to assume that. Now, somebody might say in reply to this, well, it's logically possible that the watch came together by accident. I mean, that could happen. Yes, it could happen, but we're not, as I said at the very beginning, let's not suppose that the arguments have got to give a cast iron certain proof that God exists. It's enough they make it very probable that God exists. So it certainly would be much more likely that the watch came together through intelligent design than through some sort of cosmic accident. So now the argument of design says, well, if we think that about the watch, shouldn't we also think the same thing about those other designed things that we come across, the animals, the plants, and the humans? They've got all this design. That kind of design couldn't come about by accident, just the universe coming together at some moment and the matter just finds itself in the shape of a mouse or a human. Wouldn't we suppose that something of that kind of design had to have been designed? And given the design that it has, there had to have been an intelligent designer. So there had to be somebody who planned these organisms to have the structure they have, to have the properties they have, and then carried out, executed this plan, just as an engineer executes making a car, whatever it may be. There's an engineer and there's a designer. So isn't there, in the case of organisms, similarly an engineer and a designer? So, if that's so, we know that... Who is that designer? Well, we know that designer isn't us. We didn't create those things. We created our artifacts. Our machines were created by us, the watches and the Coke cans and so forth. But we didn't create ourselves, and we didn't create the mice, and we didn't create the plants. So something else created them. So there must be another intelligence in the universe which is the creator of all these intricately designed objects. Let's call that creator God. So we have reason to believe that God exists. God is the creator who must be postulated to explain the fact of intelligent design as we observe it in nature. So that's the argument, right? So that's how the argument goes. So basically it's an argument from the existence of design, the idea that design couldn't come about accidentally. There must be a designer. The designer must be, of course, a designer of extraordinary power and extraordinary intelligence, because we can't make a mouse even, let alone make a human being. So God, whoever designed them, must have powers way beyond ours. So those powers must be godlike. So that it's God who created. So, of course, then we get the idea, which, of course, you find in Genesis, that God is the creator of nature. God created the world. He created all the animals in it. And that's the picture we get from the Bible, and that's what, according to the argument from design, the picture we get if we reflect on the fact that the universe exhibits this kind of design. That's the first argument. It was an argument extremely popular in earlier centuries, but it's probably it's occurred to you that in the century in which we live now, there is a rather familiar and influential response to that argument, and the response has the name Charles Darwin. What did Charles Darwin do? Well, he noticed, as everybody must, that animals are indeed intricately designed, and it raises the question, where does that design come from? How does it come about? Well, Darwin gave us a theory of how it comes about, the theory of evolution by natural selection. Now, this is the theory which it would take a biologist to explain in great detail, and I don't intend now to go into all the biological details and theories about this. I think probably most of my hearers know enough about this. I'll just give you an outline of the idea of the idea of evolution by natural selection so you can see how it works to respond to the argument from design. The idea is you've got these organisms at some given moment living in a particular environmental niche, and then there are various changes which occur in the organisms which are called mutations. They can occur in various ways, but they result from an alteration in the DNA and in the genes of the organisms, and these alterations change what's called the phenotype of the organism, which is the type of body it has, the way it behaves, and so on. So imagine that one of these mutations occurs in this particular time, in this particular place, in this particular species. It may turn out that the mutation is not helpful to the organism. Maybe the mutation makes one of the organism's toes bigger than the other toes, and maybe that's not helpful. Maybe it's a disadvantage. Well, then an organism with that mutation will not reproduce as well as organisms that don't have that mutation. So that mutation will die out. It won't be transmitted to any future generations. But suppose that the mutation is actually helpful. Suppose the mutation, to take a hackneyed example, causes the neck of a giraffe to be a little bit longer than the neck of other giraffes who live in the same environmental niche.